This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you ever dated a musician?
No, thank God.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But people have dated me, and right. I guess technically that's the same. It's so not the same, though.
The reason why I ask is because I dated a musician once, and then I was walking into a Walgreens, and their song was playing.
Wow.
And we weren't together anymore.
Oh, no.
And I had to leave the store.
You're like, I shouldn't have dated that guy from Five for Fighting.
If only.
That's what I imagine the is on the Walgreens playlist. Like,
yeah.
If you're on the Walgreens playlist, that's like a certain, you're in a certain
Shawn Mendes was on it the other day.
That makes sense because it's 2019, but I feel like when I worked there, I was in high school, and they played like the same 10 songs pretty much for like years.
I love that you worked at Walgreens.
Oh, that was my like high school job was, I was a photo guy at Walgreens.
I was just about to ask about the photo. Do you know that we have to start, but
right.
The photo counter is for, no, hold your judgment. I love it.
Oh, no.
Because
oh, no.
If you go Walgreens.com and upload your photos pick the sizes, it's done in an hour.
Yeah, no, it is efficient, but it did not used to be. Like,
okay.
I was there when they just got the, like, kiosks, like bring your own SIM card,
oh, right.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was definitely a transitional fossil period. You have like, oh, fuck, no one knows how this works.
Right, not even us.
And then we're like still film cameras too. So it's like.
You had to develop film?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're having to like, yeah, it was a whole thing. It sucks. It's bad. And like, I fucked up plenty of.
Job?
Not my first job,
okay.
But it was the one I definitely did like for the most of high school. Yeah. My first job was Papa John's.
Uh-oh.
That one ended badly. Yeah. That ended.
We will get into your first
sure.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
In a little bit. This is another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about the tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Mattoon, and today I have with me the person whose voice you've been hearing, which is a delightful voice,
ew.
Speaking and singing, Luke Knoll.
Thank you so much. Hey, it's good to be here, and I'm just glad I have a good speaking voice, too. No.
I heard that if you have a good speaking voice, you have a good singing voice, and that's not true because I've been told I have a okay speaking voice.
Yes.
But singing? No.
Not a singer?
Can't do it.
Why not?
Mm-mm.
You're just.
So much second guessing.
Refuse. Hey, that's a lot of it. That's a lot of life, though.
Sometimes, like, I will. Well, here is where it stemmed from. Someone on the internet told me, well, not like a commenter, like another internet creator.
Sure.
A couple years ago, we were doing like a comedy rap song. And he was like, "Do you sing?" And I said, "No." And he was like, "Just give it a shot." And I was doing like a Nicki Minaj parody.
Sure.
You don't have to sing for that.
No.
But I started rapping, and then he was like, yeah, you're tone deaf. Like, straight up told me I was tone deaf. And if he was right or not, don't know.
You're like, but all I know is that was the last day I ever attempted it.
That yeah. I even talked for a while.
That's a good way to really get your confidence up, is for someone to just be like, you can't do this. You don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll stop trying. I'll never try again. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. For those of you listening, you may know Luke from being a cast member on SNL.
Barely, though.
You were?
I was there, but they wouldn't know me from the. No one's like, oh, yes, I know him from that. Yeah.
Quite possibly. You run many articles. I found a Vulture article that gave every cast member their own Pokemon.
Oh, I also read that, and I was... When I saw the title, I was like, oh no, I'm going to be Magikarp. I was like, I'm going to be something bad and shit. And then I got Jigglypuff and honestly, best case scenario.
Best case. I searched it after that. I was like, oh, let me learn more about Jigglypuff. I do my homework.
And oh yeah.
So I was like, Jigglypuff is adorable, first of all.
So cute.
And then it said like the type of Jigglypuff. It said normal, comma, fairy.
Says fairy. So like, that's pretty much me.
You can't say normal and fairy at the same time. That doesn't make sense.
And the whole thing about Jigglypuff is when Jigglypuff sings, everyone goes to sleep.
Oh.
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jigglypuff's in Super Smash Brothers, so it's like, come on, give me, I'm cool with Jigglypuff.
You have exposure everywhere.
Yeah.
You also may know Luke from his album Guitar Comic, which I love.
Thank you so much for listening to it. No joke. Seriously, it's thank you.
So fun. And I tell Alexa to play it, and she doesn't play it.
You know.
So I have to do it manually.
It's a weird thing, and it hasn't been one of my favorite things about putting out the album has been, like, so many people have been like, yeah, it's really hard to find it. It's on all of the streaming platforms, but it's like, cool, I'm glad that it just doesn't come up when you search it. That's one of my very favorite things.
I hate it. And, well, Alexa is on one a lot of the time.
Yeah.
When you tell her to play something, sometimes she just wants to
play
whatever
she wants.
She's
like, you know what? No.
Honestly, I hate your taste.
Uh-uh.
But I have learned a lot from Alexa. Like, if you ask her to play something and she plays something completely different.
It's like, did you mean the Fugees?
No.
I didn't ask for that.
I'm a big fan.
But thank you. I really like the Fugees, Alexa. Alexa's just trying to make your taste better.
Right. She has, actually. I quick internet stalk all of my guests before you get here also, which is why I know about the Jigglypuff thing. But I also found out that when you were a kid, your mom would have you drink as much Sprite as you could to get you better.
When I was sick, my mom would give me Sprite. Yeah. And I'm like, looking back on it, that's so fucked up. Like, that's not good.
Like, was it like complimented by anything else?
She was just like, if you have a fever, just like really go to town on the Sprite. A lot, like,
where did she work? Did she work for Sprite?
She is a special ed teacher, so I guess that it checks out.
Sprite?
She's like, yep, just drink a bunch of Sprite.
Did it ever help?
No.
Okay.
It's sugar water, right?
Sure.
It's like not, I guess I'm like, there's something about like, I don't know if you have like I've heard like people give kids like ginger ale if you,
oh,
or
ginger,
like,
ale works.
That's what they say, but it's like Sprite doesn't.
No.
You know, that doesn't help. That's like just dehydrates you more. Like,
yeah. Do you ever have Sprite now as an adult and you're like, I'm traumatized or you feel sick?
I feel like I've been pretty, since moving to California, and I just did a hair flip to anyone listening. I've been trying to not drink like soda anymore, but
yeah.
I feel like growing up in the Midwest, it, like, that was in the faucet, like sink, it was Sprite.
That
is
hilarious.
Just
that's
sugar.
Your tap water is
pretty
Sprite.
Yeah, exactly.
I met Luke, like, you're not here. Right. We met each other in an escape room.
In an escape room, which is how you want to meet somebody.
Oh, 1,000%.
In a team building scenario.
Yeah, because I think I've always said you learn a person's real character in escape rooms and flying with each other, like traveling.
I think that is true, because in an escape room, you can tell if somebody's like a type A, take charge, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, you need to communicate with me, though, because I did not know what you just found, so I didn't know that the refrigerator was a secret passageway, okay?
Right! That escape room, if you haven't been, it was called Stash House.
Stash House? It was one of the, if
the
not
best.
The best I've ever done, yeah.
The best. You need at least 8 people, I think, because
is that?
It's so huge.
It
we
is
had
huge.
About 8 people, I think.
I think you're right. We had a bunch of people in there.
So you're not able to do this huge escape room unless you have enough people, because about like 2 people need to be in each room. And there's
right.
so many rooms.
A bunch of rooms.
Oh, my God. We didn't get trapped, but like underneath there was a bed. And underneath the bed was like the secret passageway.
Yes, like a crawl space.
Yeah.
And we were like jammed in this like pitch black
it
crawl
took
space.
A long time.
For a long time. And the whole thing you're trying to do is find these like little baggies of cocaine, like a fake cocaine. And then you like, once you find all these little fake cokes, You have to flush, like, the
you
end of the room is flush
the
them down the toilet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I love that, like, when the guy comes out at the end and he's like, you did it. He's like, just so you guys know, they are, like, biodegradable bags. Like, he has to, like, cover his bases. Like, just so you know, we're not, like, on the hour, every hour, polluting.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a good escape room.
It was so good.
Do you have any tips for escape room newbies?
Bring a gun. Always bring a gun.
Bring a saw. Just get out of there.
Always bring a real gun. Because you never know. I feel like if you're new to escape rooms, I feel like you want to start just by shouting out everything you see, right?
Yes.
Because especially
people.
If everybody is like tossing through everything, you don't know what someone, and then you're like behind. And once you're behind, you're like, this isn't even fun.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Do you not want me to be here?
Brian.
Tell me some of our friends.
Yes.
Has this ever happened to you? Like, oh.
Your friend is four steps ahead and has solved everything, and you're like.
And yet you find their remnants.
That looked fun. Yeah.
You find their remnants. You're like, I just found this. And like, we did that 3 steps ago. And you're like, okay, well, I'm done here.
I was like, you had to break open an urn to get that key?
Right.
I would have loved to have been there for that. I would have liked to have broken something to get a key.
Would have been nice.
Would have been very fun, but totally cool that you didn't communicate that to me,
but
that you
so
just did
fun.
That.
Yeah, there's have you ever like opened something and there was like a key and you're like, oh, I'm going to use this key to open this one lock that I know about.
Yes.
Right when you grab it, somebody else grabs a key and runs to the lock and opens it instead of you?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you like, doing that?
They're like, can we be a team?
Right. Sometimes like when I open something, I won't even grab it. I'll just go ahead. Like, I want you to enjoy this.
Also, I feel like, have you ever been paired up with people you didn't know? Hard pass on that.
Super
hard. If you've
hard
never
pass.
Done it.
That should be illegal.
Unless it's like mutual friends. Like we were like
yeah.
Friend of a friend, totally cool. But if they're putting you with a group of people, they're like, oh, you three, we're gonna jam you with the four drunkest frat guys ever in the world.
They're always drunk frat guys.
I know. And they're like, and they always have to be like, everything in this room is reachable. You don't have to climb on anything. And it's like doing it with those guys, and you're like, oh, that's why they have to say that. Because they're just like, is there anything we have to punch through? And you're like, no, you don't have to punch through anything. Okay, cool.
Fine.
All right. Because our instinct is to break everything.
Right. Get out however you can.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. When's the last time you did one?
It's been actually not that long now that I think about it. I probably like a month ago maybe I did a pair of escape rooms, two in one day. Which
you
is,
have to.
It is that kind of thing where you
double
go to
header.
One of those places, you want, after you do one, you're like,
you're
all
right. Lubricate, your mind is ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then, and then sometimes though, you'll have done one that was really fun that you're like, man, that one was so fun. And then you do the second one and you're like, that one's not as good.
It was like worse.
Yeah, you're like,
law of diminishing return. You're like, this wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It's the best. Okay, I could talk about this for literally ever.
You should do just a tip in parentheses for escape rooms.
Oh my. God,
yeah.
Just only talk about escape rooms.
Yeah, really spoil fun escape rooms for everyone.
I always want to do like videos of them, but you're not allowed to.
You're not,
But like Conan and Ariana have done them.
Right.
So.
But then that's like basically, I get it because they want people to do it. And then if you show.
Yeah.
Showing how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever made sausage?
I have made sausage.
Why?
Sausage. I had a Groupon. I took my girlfriend to a sausage making class in Chicago underneath the L train in the Loop. And it was honestly really fun because when you like some you're making so much sausage. And then at the end, the guy's like, you can just like you just made like 11 pounds of sausage. You can just have all of that.
Oh, good.
And so. Yeah, we
so
had a
how
bunch
long
of,
were you eating sausage for?
We had like a cookout and like all our friends are. We made it and it was like applewood bake, like ground up bacon inside the sausage, which is really good. But it also means that there's like a bajillion little grease bubbles in there that you're just like, it's really fun because you get to really burn your mouth when you eat it.
All of the senses.
Really good. It's kind of what you want when you're eating a sausage is to burn your mouth with hot, boiling hot grease.
We're going to learn a little bit more about you, even though I feel like we're doing a pretty good job.
We're already like knee deep in me. Sausage, escape rooms, Sprite when you're sick.
That's your 23.
That's kind of it. Yeah. That is fucked up, but it's probably true. That's a good slice of me already.
This is a game it's not really a game.
Not a game.
It's not a game.
There's no winners and
there's
losers here.
There's no jokes. I just want to know you.
Cool.
It's called Burst of First. It's rapid fire. One round of rapid fire questions. And what I'm going to ask for you is nothing but the truth.
So I'm not allowed to lie in this?
Nope. You have to go real fast. And the last rule is if I ever yell stop, you have to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story.
Okay, cool. Okay. So rapid fire, truth. But you're allowed to be like, this one's not rapid fire. Let's dig in.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's up to me.
Cool, cool, cool.
I had to make this podcast so I could have some power in my life.
Honestly, yeah, that's what why a lot of like 40-year-old guys teach improv. things aren't going well. I've got to be around 20-year-olds.
That's very funny. Okay, here we go. Bursa firsts. What was your first job?
Papa John's. I was a in-store Papa John's guy.
In-store?
Not a delivery driver. I was like 14, 15.
First cell phone.
Very shitty brick that didn't have a camera on it. The little flip phone. It was forest green. Motorola, I think.
First pet.
I had a frog named Clark. He lived for 7 years.
That's too long.
Too long.
First kiss location.
First kiss location was the woods behind my house.
Okay, gonna stop there.
All right.
The woods?
Yeah. Yep. The woods by the creek.
Oh, okay. So there was like a reason.
Had a little creek back there. Yeah.
Is a creek the same thing as a creek? Or are you saying it crazy?
I believe that it is the same thing. But yeah, our creek. There was like a weird little pond in the woods behind my house growing up, and we called it Pee Pond because all the kids in the neighborhood would pee in Pee Pond. It was like a little collection of just pretty much just pee.
Okay.
But yeah, my first kiss was back by Pee Pond.
Oh, Pee Pond is great.
Yeah.
I like when they – okay, so very big tangent here.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the blooper of Friends when Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow, calls – a vagina, a dick ditch.
No, okay. I haven't.
That's great. It's the best. So the story behind it is the people, I guess, what is on CBS? Where was Friends airing? Fox? Who knows or cares?
I wasn't watching live.
Same.
Yeah.
So the network didn't want Lisa to say the word vagina on air.
Right.
So
it's a bad word.
It's a bad word.
Yeah.
Scientists.
Right.
And so the writers on set were like trying to figure out another word for vagina. And in between takes, all the actors were laughing so hard at Dick Ditch. So they.
Dick Ditch.
It's so good. I'm going to pull up a clip just so you can hear it.
Mm-mm-mm. What did they settle on? Just like, what if they've settled on, like in trying to avoid saying vagina, did they just say something like, pussy, like just something that's grosser, a worse way to say it.
Truly, I think they probably agreed on vagina, but they all dared Lisa Kudrow to say dick ditch on TV, and they like paid her money for it. So here's a clip of this happening. It's also really hard to find this blooper, is what I've heard.
Babes, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, easy for you to say. I don't see three kids coming out of your.
Well, they bleeped it out, but that, imagine that they didn't.
Right, it would be very funny if they just left something like that in Friends, which is an otherwise pretty like squeaky clean show. Just have, yeah, I don't see kids coming out of your dick ditch.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
So all that to say, I love when people call other things alliteration nicknames.
Yeah, alliterative. Oh, that was the long walk you wanted for Pee Pond and Dick Ditch?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm in.
I like it.
Okay, first kiss location. Let's go back to Bursa first. Here we go. Here comes the ominous music.
Oh, yeah.
First major purchase.
Probably like a G.I. Joe, something G.I. Joe related. I'm thinking one time I got like an anti-aircraft gun. I used like all my birthday money as a kid. I'm talking like it was like $90 for like a thing that you could put G.I. Joes in that made it look like it was like on the deck of a battleship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so big G.I. Joe fan.
Big Joe fan back when I was a kid.
First choice in a karaoke book.
I think for me it's Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
Ooh.
Quick. It's like a 2-minute long song, that's it. Wham bam thank you, man.
Wham bam thank you, man. First internet screen name.
Oh no. Uh-huh. It was, and I don't it, this makes it sound like I was like really struggling with my sexuality, but X confused guy.
First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone.
That's totally fine.
Oh, that's good. First celebrity crush.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
First concert.
Warped Tour.
Wow, big one.
Oh, yeah.
First scar.
Scar. I cut myself on opening a can of cat food. for a neighbor and bled all over their empty house. And
all
yeah,
over?
I was probably like 8 or 9 and I was like doing like a, they weren't home. Like they were like,
That's really sad.
Like 10 bucks to feed their cat while they were on vacation and I cut myself and bled all over their house.
Worth it. First thing you do when you like someone.
Buy a gun. Oh goodness. I don't know. I follow them on Instagram. I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't do anything when I like someone.
First show you binge watched.
Lost.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
Have a show across town.
Ooh, that's a good one for you.
It is. And it's sometimes it's true.
First time you cried in public. Last question.
Jeez, cried in public. I don't know. I don't know if I maybe ever have.
All right. Well, you want to try now?
I want to try.
All right.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
We did it.
Maybe not like a sob, but maybe I've like welled up. Here or there. Yeah.
Do you ever just want to cry just because?
Yeah. I mean, it's a release. It's cathartic. It's why not? I mean, I'm not against it. It's just I feel like the moment hasn't hit me necessarily in public. Yeah,
that's good.
Wait for one of my parents to die, and then I'll definitely have like a good like open cry at a funeral service. I'm already planning like what my bit's gonna be when my parents die.
Have you ever done a wedding speech?
No, I haven't.
Would you want to?
I would. I also think that I would struggle to not make it about me. No, I'm kidding. No, no, I would. I would like to do that. But I don't like, I've only really stood up in one wedding and I wasn't like best man. I was just a groomsman.
Oh, you were just like, I object.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, stop this. Yeah, exactly. I think part of it is that I'm not to be trusted with that. Like, have you given a toast?
Yeah, it wasn't a toast. It was a maid of honor speech, and it has haunted me for years.
Really?
Not
go well.
Not like quattro, but like for years it has.
Why? You could have done better or what?
I was just trying so hard. I like wrote a full script. I was like trying to –
You had audio stings?
I was trying to do callbacks like way too much, and I was like, this should stop.
Before
it starts. Yeah, it was really, really bad. I'll also list. I think it lasted like 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
I should have just made like a PowerPoint. No, I know. Luke, I know.
But 15 minutes, you need callbacks at that point. The instinct to have callbacks was a good one if you're like, we're clocking it at 15 minutes at this point.
I should have not done it at all.
I mean, I'm sure it's on film, right?
No, my therapist was like, anytime you feel embarrassed and just feel it and like without any goal. And I was like, what after that? Like, okay, I feel it and then what? And she was like, nothing else.
And then you've processed it.
That's what it is. But I wish she would have told me that. I was like, why are you doing this whole rigmarole? Just tell me I'll stop feeling it.
Don't Jedi mind trick me. Just tell me. He's like, if you fuck up, really soak up the fuck up. Like, okay? No, like, and really dwell in it.
Okay,
and then what?
Yeah.
And then you feel bad, and then you know you've done wrong. Okay,
she pulls her face off. It's just my mom. I go, okay,
it's a good mask though.
Enough about us.
Yes,
Let's
help others.
We have a question called "In Love with My Teacher's Wife."
Already great. Already a really good one.
Here we go.
Hey, so I'm in college and I have this professor and I've been in his class a while and I don't know how to tell him that I'm in love with his wife. I was wondering if you could help or give me any advice or just what to do. Thank you.
Whoa!
So?
How are you? Have ever been in love with a teacher's spouse?
No, I mean, I guess that's kind of an extra wrinkle, because it's one thing to be like attracted to your teacher, but then like an extra wrinkle of like, how are you? My question is like, it sounds like you've interacted with this teacher's.
How do they know?
Why? Yeah. Because I know that I didn't know many, and like the only teacher's spouses that I knew were ones that I was like, there was like another activity going on. Like even in college, it's like, In college, I don't think I knew any of my professors' wives or husbands. But
oh, that's so interesting.
So I think, is it safe to assume there has been some interaction, probably, yes, then outside of an academic setting, maybe an extracurricular activity of some sort, mm-hmm, that would make sense, right?
What's okay? I am so confused because I've never been in this situation before. Usually, like, we tell stories and be like, this happened to me once, but like, I've never been in this scenario.
No, in fact, I mean, I think everybody has the story of like, yeah, a kid at my school tried to fuck a teacher. You're right. Like, you know, I got plenty of that.
Totally.
But as far as like, I'm in love with my teacher's wife, and I mean, I got a bunch of follow-up questions. Like, has anything happened?
I know.
Like,
I wish we could call back.
I know. Like, because it's one thing if it's like an ongoing affair.
I know.
Because in that situation.
Tell me what happens in that situation, Luke.
I feel like that definitely complicates the situation. If at this point it's a purely innocent, like, nothing has happened, I'm just infatuated, mm-hmm, with my teacher's wife. I don't know that it is as like a gotta tell them then.
Yeah. You can leave. You can remove yourself from the equation.
Yeah, because it sounds like if nothing has happened, which I don't think is probably the case.
It would be nice to know.
I'm assuming that there is involvement in some way. You know what I mean? Like if you're in like... We're dropping an L-bomb?
Right. And it's like a college age level, which is like, okay, now we have some merit or we have some like gravitas to the word love.
Yes.
When you're in high school, you're like, I love him. It's like, okay, well.
I agree. Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think you can confuse like real love with infatuation. Like just
totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's assume, right, uh-huh, that something's happened that's probably extramarital at this point.
Sure.
That the teacher's or the professor, whoever it is, spouse, has reciprocated in some way, shape, or form, whether right, that be physically or otherwise, then I think you should tell the professor.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's a, yeah.
That's just not nice.
But then again, and you never know, maybe they're down for a
polygamy?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about polygamy is I've read so many, not books on polygamy, but like a lot of like, memoirs or what like humorous essay books, and a lot of people like talk about it in like a couple of chapters. It never works.
It sounds like it's very hard to make work efficiently because, mm-hmm, especially in an. I think you know what it is. The only times where it seems like it really works is when the two people entering into the relationship are already like, hey, before we even start this, this is like,
yeah,
I'm into dating multiple people. It always seems like if they started out monogamous and they're like, you know what we should do?
Yeah.
That's like a recipe for disaster because totally, it just means that one person's idea, it was one person's idea, right, way more than it was another person's idea.
Totally.
And no matter how wide open your communication is, there's going to be some undercurrent of like,
right.
Mm.
Oh my God, what do they do?
I know. I like I said, I think if there's been a reciprocation from the spouse, if there's been something extramarital like that, you probably do need to tell the teacher that that's been happening.
Like, do you go hand in hand with his wife or do you go separate and you go, hey, professor?
I think you talk to the wife because clearly that's a back channel that's been opened where you're like, hey, yeah. I think because the wife probably doesn't want the husband to know.
Right.
Or the professor. I'm assuming it's a man or woman. Maybe it's not.
Right, because then the wife could.
It could be a. Yeah.
You could tell if it were you, which it is you. Like you can tell the wife to go, hey, this is your relationship. Maybe you can have this conversation with your husband, if you are interested in me.
Or like, wife.
The onus.
We didn't know if it's a.
Right. Yes, we have no idea. Well, she says his class.
Oh, his class.
So yeah, maybe like put the onus on her, because that's her. She did that.
Yeah,
it's like her thing to do.
Yeah, it is one of the I think the in parentheses thing of like if it is just innocent,
right?
I think don't
go elsewhere.
Don't
truly you can.
I know you're in love, but it sounds like this person's is wifed up. You know,
sounds like
yeah. You know,
yeah.
And you're in college, and you have a lot of life left to live. And I promise you, you're not like a don't be in love with this person anymore. But I'm like, mm-hmm, you've chosen a forbidden fruit. It sounds like.
That's not good.
There's not a lot of endings to that situation where I'm like, this is gonna go well.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we say, best of luck. And we say,
oh no.
What?
It just sounds like we didn't help that person at all.
No, well, how much? I mean, like, we can't really do much.
No, I mean, I promise you, we can't do anything. We have nothing to do with it. We're chiming in saying, like, this is a bad situation.
I say tell the wife to do have a conversation with the wife. Let her take care of it. And if she doesn't want to, then take your power and your worthiness elsewhere.
Yes. That's good. That's a nice little button.
Cool.
For the advice, yeah.
Okay, good button. That's a good time to take a little break.
But yeah, it sounds like it's going to go bad, though.
We're going to take a little break while Luke gives an extra piece of advice you can find on the Just a Tip podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
And we're back.
We're back.
I don't know if this is my favorite segment, but yes, I think it is. Before we get into act number two, what are you obsessed with right now? What are you currently like, this is my jam and everybody needs to know about it?
Oh my gosh. What am I obsessed with right now? I am obsessed with...
Or just something you kind of like.
Yeah, no, I feel like, and this is something that I'm like, I need to get out of this phase quick.
Uh-uh.
Is cringy TikToks.
Oh, I have not been on TikTok yet.
It is bad.
Oh, there's a Twitter account that quote tweets cringy tics.
It is. Is
cringe tics.
I feel like I've been like an low key Reddit guy for like over a decade now.
Okay.
And I've been over time really saving up the cringiest. Like I have a very curated like 10-year long cringe compilation that I've been making for just myself and like my friends basically.
Wait, what?
I'll go down in a deep dive. Like whether it starts on the cringe subreddit, I'll go down the YouTube rabbit hole of just some sad shit. But I don't know why it's finger licking good to me, and I watched way too much of it. It's bad. I need to not have that be my thing. I recognize right away. I'm like, this is a bad thing to have be your thing.
This is so fascinating. So like, I'm thinking of Nathan For You.
Mm.
Great show.
Yes, very cringy.
So cringy. And sometimes I have to pause it because like my fingertips and my arms can't handle it.
Yes.
Because I just feel it viscerally.
Yes.
So like, do you like that feeling? Or why have you compilated 10 years worth of cringe?
There's a bunch of, I think, within the cringe umbrella, there's a bunch of cringe. Because like Nathan For You, he's like putting people on the spot and they're making he's putting people in these situations and they're making these choices oftentimes themselves because they know they're on TV, right? So it's like, that's a one wrinkle to it. My lane that I really like is people who they're totally genuine.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Kind of worse.
It's worse. It's like, I know that I shouldn't like this as much as I do, but I really love like music that they think is like fucking awesome, and it just couldn't be any worse.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that kind of stuff. And the thing is, I've listened to so much bad music that I'm like, I like it. Like, I started out by making fun of it, but I'm like, no, I was making fun of it, but you gotta credit where credit's due. It's a catchy song, you know?
Like what? Give me one example of a song that it's bad in your mind, but then you absolutely loved.
You know, like an example to me, I think is the most accessible example was like a Rebecca Black Friday situation. I take it like 10 steps further than that, though. I'm like, you know what I mean? Yeah, Rebecca Black is like one where it's like, oh, that's a hokey song. But then you're like, you know what, though? Catchy song.
Catchy
as heck. Yeah.
I feel so bad because wasn't the story about Rebecca Black is that, like, this is probably so wrong, but this is all I can remember is, like, maybe a neighbor or someone that, like, knew her and was like, you're a pretty girl. We can easily make you a star because you can also sing.
I'm pretty sure that the person who produced the song and the video is, like, one of those places that if you pay them X amount of money, they'll make you a music video. Because that same guy has a bunch of other little kids that he made music videos
really?
For. Again, I've gone down the deep dive. That guy, like... Whether it's like a scam of like, oh, you're rich parents will pay for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people. I like the older woman pop star, like the like in their late 40s and trying to get this pop thing started. That's like my sweet spot right now.
And you just watch these?
I devour these.
Like, so when you put them on the playlist, like, when do you play the playlist?
See, that's the thing.
In a bath? Where are you watching, rewatching them?
It's usually, like a night of, like, when we have friends over or something. Like, I'll throw up a couple of these. And then, you know, usually trading off YouTube videos or something is something we used to do a lot when I lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Just like, what have you found? And it's
what
just
have you found?
The stuff of nightmares. Yeah.
I always, when I have, like, dinner parties or game nights or whatever, and it ends up going to, like, a YouTube sphere of everyone just kind of gives something, it's so great for a little bit. And then it dies, and then everyone wants to go home after.
Like, yes. Oh, my girlfriend hates whenever we go down that road. She's
really?
Like, because she hates that stuff.
She hates cringe or she
yes.
hates? Yes. Okay.
She does not get enjoyment out of watching bad stuff on purpose. I'm like... I couldn't want to do it more. She's like, one video. You know, and it never is. It's always like 100.
So. You have a song on your album where you mention, it's like in between your songs, you like say that this is your girlfriend's least favorite song. And she's like, why can't you just like open up and show who you are?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
That is.
It's Human Skin Kites is what it's
human
called.
Human Skin Kites is the song. It's weird because that's not her her least favorite song.
What's
I say it is in my act, but her least favorite song is the last song on my album, which is Turpentine, Wine, and Bleach.
What? Because she's heard it so many times?
No, because for her, it's for those who haven't heard it, it's really just me. You have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty much me singing the same chorus for 6 minutes,
yeah.
Right? And it's the joke of it is that it never really changes. Like, it seems like it's going to change, but it never really changes. And she hates being in the room when I'm performing that song because the audience will be like, turn on me. They like, it is by design, I will lose them. At some point,
you
they're like, this isn't funny.
Me.
But it's not funny. Like, there's no jokes in it.
No.
And that's why she hates it is because, like, the room, like, shifts in their chairs for a minute. And they're like, what the fuck is that? Like, why is he doing this? And she just hates that feeling. Like, I will say that I believe that by the end, I think I win them back.
Yeah.
But it certainly is like, it's not my funniest song, you know.
It's
catchy, though.
It's so catchy. It's the same thing as, like, if you're on a road trip and you're listening to the same song over and over and over and it gets bad, and then you're like, all right, we're back around.
Then you're back
in the circle.
It's exactly that. It's like they say comedy is the rule of threes.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like the rule of 38. You know what I mean?
3,000.
Yes, exactly.
Turpentine, Wine, and Bleach.
That is all it is. And, yeah, she hates that song.
It's so good.
It's an earworm.
It's an earworm. I watched your show on last Tuesday. It was so good.
Thank you for coming, by the way.
It was so good. If anyone listening, living in LA, or if you're traveling to Chicago, since you're from Chicago, anywhere, please watch Luke's show. It is one of the best shows I've seen.
That is too dang nice.
I love it.
Seriously, thank you.
I love it. I love comedy, and I love music, and you do such a good job with both. And I was telling you in person, I was with a friend of mine who has perfect pitch, which is something she hates that I say, but it's like— I'm trying to give my friends credit because they don't give each other credit.
I hear that.
And it's like, stop. Credit, Luke. You're great.
Seriously, thank you.
You're welcome. Everyone should go see it. Anyway, so what I was saying, she really enjoyed it too. And she's like, since she is so talented, like it's kind of harder with like your elitist friends to like bring them to something.
Yes.
But she really enjoyed it. You're very musically talented. It's not like as much as I love Bo Burnham and Dimitri Martin, it's like you're doing riffs, you're doing licks, your falsetto is going on. Like, you got it going on.
That is, again, too nice to take.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, those guys who you just listed off, like are so much smarter and more clever than me. And so in order to, like, make up for that, I try to make it basically a catchy song underneath with just stupid lyrics. You know what I mean?
It's so good.
I want it to be a good tune.
I want to talk about this forever, but I know that we should get to another question, but I'm not going to.
Mm.
So I'm going to ask you a few more questions.
Yeah, more about me.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's usually very conversational in terms of like your stories that we've been through, but I just like am so fascinated by your mind that I just want to ask more questions.
This is bad. Haven't you already dug in? Like, okay, so you like to laugh at people.
We got that going on.
Okay, so you're laughing at others' expense. So we like that. We see that that's a defining trait of yours.
When you are writing songs, where are you like coming from a place of this annoys me, or you're like, I want to change this, or what's like your place of figuring out like what you want to say? Because all of your songs that you put out have like a comedic undertone, like guitar comic.
Sure.
And I think I asked you in person the other day I think my friend did, if you did any songs that weren't comedy, and you were like,
right.
No,
not anymore. Not really. No, I think at least when I'm writing comedy songs, I'm acutely aware that when I'm on stage, I'm a straight white guy singing these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly coming at it from a perspective that people are like, God,
we gotta get your take.
I gotta hear this diverse take that we haven't heard before.
Right.
So because of that, I try to call that out and get ahead of it, that I'm like, I'm not gonna be changing the world or anyone's mind about anything. Not that I don't have progressive opinions and things that I would love to. And as time has gone on, I have gotten into that, because a lot of my album is songs that I wrote when I was living in Chicago, and some from SNL are on the album, and then a few ones that were pretty in the last year or so after SNL are on there too. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those old Chicago ones are like dick and butt songs, you know what I mean? And so I've been trying to take stock where I'm like, man, if my whole catalog of music that I've written is a big pie chart, the butt and dick slice of it is more than I'd like it to be. So that's been something in the last like 2 years that I've like, let's not write any more songs about my butt and pee-pee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's been like a personal challenge to myself of like, how do I write some stuff about stuff that's not that?
Yeah.
And so that's been all the new stuff I've written has been more, you know, cultural. Yeah. Like,
love it.
Yeah. But
diverse.
I'd say I throw away probably like 90% of the shit that I write, though.
No,
I really
way.
Throw away almost all of it just because it's not. Wow. I want it to be a good song too. That's and a lot of the times I'm like, oh, this is funny, but it's like not a good song. It's not very good. Yeah.
That's good. That's where artistry comes in. Cause I bet you a lot of people would just throw it at the wall.
I mean, I wish I did though, because sometimes
you do it on Instagram.
I know.
Who cares about that?
Exactly. I need to do more of that. But then
it's like,
I don't know what it is. I don't like just doing like a GCD chord progression and you know, saying as many jokes as I can, as fast as I can, and, you know, because
that's
a lot of music comedy is that, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's what's like keeping you in like the different echelon.
Really rising above it.
Really rising above it.
Really.
While we're talking about writing, and you mentioned SNL, if anyone wants a job in the writing field, not necessarily SNL, but if you want to give like a tip that you learned about like trying to crank out stuff week after week on like a crazy deadline and people aren't respecting you, like what
is going on? That is all very, very true. I mean, I was hired as a cast member, so I was like, oh, I'm sure somebody will write something for me. Nope. So you're like, in the moment, you're like learning, oh, I wish I had put more hours, as many hours into writing as I had into performing.
Oh,
at least specifically for SNL, you're having to really write your way into the show.
Right.
So the very few moments of daylight that you get, a lot of times when you're new there, are things that you wrote, because it's hard to get people to write for you there, right?
For sure.
But I do think it's one of those things where, like, I just talked about how much I self-edit and I'm throwing away so much of it. I still try to crank it out even and finish it, even though it, I think it sucks. Like, I think that's a very important thing, is like, you're gonna hate what you're writing while in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You need to finish, like, it feels so much better, even if it's something that you're gonna ball up and throw into the trash, that you've at least written it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, finish the thought. Don't hit the delete key. Don't, oh, I can do this. It's like, just word vomit whatever it is out, and it's gonna feel better even if it sucks.
Right.
At least you did it.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
I'm feeling attacked. Because when I'm, like, choreographing, I never finish if I'm just, like, I get bored halfway through, or, like, I don't think it's very good, and so I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna move on to a new song. And, like, when I look back a couple years after, I'm like, I could have finished that, and that would have been really good.
Yeah, that's exactly – I beat myself up the same exact way with songs, where I'm like, I'll, like, write 80% of the song, and I'll be like, I don't have a good ending to this. I'm gonna throw it away and never revisit it ever again.
Right.
And it – but I notice, like, unless I do it and finish it in one sitting,
mm-hmm.
I'll never finish it.
Yep. Well, now that we're on the writing subject, our next question is about writing.
Oh, okay.
So look at that segue. Here we go.
I'm 33 years old. I have a full-time office job, but my passion is writing. In 2013, I graduated with a Master of Arts degree in Humanities. I've completed 3 editorial internships and applied to editorial jobs with no success. I devote about 1 to 4 hours a day to writing poetry, a blog post, or a novel. One of the highlights of my writing life was getting a personal essay published on Pop Sugar. I wonder if I directed my full attention to one of these writing projects, then I would begin to see some more positive results. What do you think? I would love to become a full-time paid writer. Sincerely, Wandering Writer.
Whoa.
Whoa, master's degree. Kudos.
I know, and just like, or writing a novel. Like, what's that like?
I know, right? Everything that you rattled off sounds awesome.
It sounds like you're doing it.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing it. It's just what you it's friggin' hard to make that a full-time
that's
gig is really
thing.
What it is.
Being a full-time artist that's like you can pay your bills by it is so difficult.
And I'll say this as somebody who has recently made the jump of working within the last couple of years, I was working a full-time office gig at a tech startup in Chicago doing comedy 6 nights a week for free.
Yeah.
You know, this is my job now and I am, it's sink or swim, and then getting fired from SNL and now being in the ether doing comedy for colleges and stuff like that. Oh, I got a frog in my throat.
Wait, your frog's name was Clark.
Clark. Yep.
Oh.
And I had a turtle named Kent, so it was a Clark Kent.
Okay, we see where we're going here.
I'll say this. As soon as it does become your job, and it's a pie-in-the-sky goal of now, once your rent is now dependent on this thing going well, it does take a decent amount of the fun out of it.
Almost all of it.
Almost all of it. And it adds, like, adding anxiety to a thing, adding financial anxiety to a thing you were purely in love with on an, like, you know, on an art level.
Mm-hmm.
It does suck. It's not a good feeling when you're like, fuck, I gotta crank this thing out that I think sucks, you know, or like, you know? But it sounds like everything she rattled off is exactly what you need to be doing if you wanted that to be your path. You're writing every day for a significant amount of your time. And I know exactly the feeling, and I don't know if the caller is the same as me, but whenever I was at my work, I've never been more inspired and like wanted to do comedy more than when I was at my 9-to-5.
That's why I'm like, kind of still have it.
Now
so
that
you don't have like pressure,
well, it's a weird thing. Not only the financial pressure, it's, I mean, it sucks having to work a 9-to-5 that you don't give a shit about. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling too. But there's something about like in my brain when I know I'm like, oh, I'm at work right now and I need to be working. my brain can, it's like that's the time when I'm really thinking of like when my comedy brain kicks in is when I'm not allowed to be doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the forbidden fruit.
And then the moment that I'm like, it's my now comedy is my day job. It's fucking hard to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
1,000%. It's so backwards. But like if I think I became like a full-time like entertainer.
She eye-rolled there, just so people know. She eye-rolled hard. She eye-rolled really hard.
It's just like when people are like, what do you do? I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
Do you want to
do you want me to use the word content that many times?
I'm unsubscribing.
I generate
from
content
this conversation. Yeah. Oh, it's the worst. If you're in an Uber, what do you say that you do? I mean, yours is you kind of easy. You could go, I'm a comic, I'm a musician.
Yeah, I just say comedian.
Oh, no. Are they like, tell me a joke?
Every once in a while you get that, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, I just like, I think it's funny because there's so many comics who talk about like, yeah, people ask me to tell them jokes. Yeah, you can actually just really nicely be like, oh, I'm not. No. Like, people are mostly like, oh, I'm not going to do that. It's actually, people respond to that.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, thanks. Yeah.
No, I'm all right. Just gonna jump out of this car, actually.
Yep.
But when I became full-time not working at a restaurant, it was fun for a bit because, like, the cushion of money that I had. And then it was like, the art doesn't pay the bills. What pays the bills is the advertisement that's connected to the art.
Yep.
So, like, if you can write articles for Pop Sugar, whoever it is, and get, like, advertising through that, then you'll be fine enough to make the piece that you want to make, maybe.
I
don't know how writing works.
I learned how to write during SNL, but clearly not well enough. No, but you know what? One of the things that actually kind of stuck with me about it, and it's a piece of advice that might take a lot of the love of the art out of it a little bit, was Tina Fey hosted when I was there, and she was a Second City Chicago gal. So we kind of bonded a little bit over Chicago improv. And I was saying, yeah, I went to, you know, and she was talking about how she ran the room at 30 Rock and how she was like, I wanted it to be different than SNL because SNL is like very high pressure and can be toxic at times just because of all of the, you know, the nature of the show. We got to crank it out by the end of this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I didn't want it to be that feeling. And then, you know, my writers, I'm talking from the perspective of Tina Fey now, she's like, my writers would bring in these like really weird esoteric jokes that I loved, the comedy nerds in the room loved, but we had to remember that we're writing a show on NBC at 8 o'clock for network TV, and that this joke is maybe for 2% of people who are really going to like this joke. And she's like, and there's times where you stand up and you fight for that, but she's like, you have to only have like one of those for every seven more accessible jokes that a lot of people will like. And it's like, yeah, she reminded her room, she goes, those kinds of jokes started popping up more and more. And she's like, I have to put my foot down because this is getting too weird and it's going off the rails.
Yeah.
And the term she said is, guys, just remember, we're selling Tide. Like, just remember, network TV, we're all sitting here getting paid money to write comedy because a bingo,
right?
Commercials are paying for us being on the air. And it sucks to say it like that.
Totally.
But it's, you're selling Tide. And even if you're writing stuff and you're like poetry on and putting it online and stuff, it's like some, you know, it's generating revenue somehow. And a lot of times that's banner ads and stuff like that. And it's a bummer that when you start to think of the monetization of your passions, it sucks.
It does. It really does suck. I've always told, like, anyone that was working around me or helping me with something, like, in my business, is always, like, pick something that you could do for 14 hours and you wouldn't get sick of it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
You'll get sick of anything.
Exactly. And I've had so many people be like, that was, like, the best advice I've ever heard. And, like, oh, my God, I'm following my passion. It's like, for sure do that, but know that, like, you're going to hate it. And that's part of it.
Yes.
You're going to hate your passion, but that's, you just keep on doing it and you find another little hobby.
Because there was, like, that Dave Chappelle's Inside the Actor's Studio, I think he references a conversation he had with his dad where he's like, if I can make as much as a teacher's, like, his dad's a teacher, he's like, if I can make a teacher's salary doing comedy, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's work. But if I can make a living as, you know, at the end of the day, humans are going to find shit to complain about. Like,
yeah.
I, like, especially moving to Los Angeles, you're like, people complaining about the weather. I'm like, it's literally like thermostat perfect all the time here. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Where it's like, you'll find something to bitch about wherever you live. You'll find something to complain about. Oh, the traffic. Oh, parking. So it's like, you're a human being. You're going to complain about something. And that your job is going to be one of those things because it's a stressor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our closing tip for becoming a full-time artist in general,
mm-hmm.
would yours be to
that you're doing you're everything you that she rattled off is you're doing it. You're literally already doing it. Becoming a full-time thing, I'm saying is can be a bit of a be careful what you wish for. But I think I've never been happier than when I had a 9-to-5 that I didn't hate. I worked for good people.
Yeah.
It wasn't a pulling – like if you literally hate your office job, and this is to this caller, then find another office job that can support you. But keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right path to becoming a full-time writer, it sounds like. You're putting in the time.
Yeah, and just finish your stuff. Don't throw it away like we do.
I know.
Luke, our last section before we wrap this up, it's called Tip Jar. I sometimes I think about getting someone to make a jingle, and I'm just like, no, I'll have the guest do it. So this segment is called Tip Jar. You don't have to sing, but like you're
Tip Jar, Tip Jar, we're about to do a Tip Jar segment.
I wish that would last for decades.
I'll make you an official one. I'll send you a shitty one I record on my phone. I'm like, hey, just use this. This will be
the
good.
The garbage truck is passing by.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious.
Dogs barking at me.
I'm going to read a suggestion that was left as a comment on the podcast Instagram, and we have to weigh in with our 2 cents on each subject, just really quick.
Oh,
just
great.
Just like, well, our little thoughts about it, one quick tip that could help anybody listening.
Mm.
Starting really simple, I guess, changes was the first comment. Do you have a tip for change in general?
Embrace change. Mm. The only constant is that in this life is that it will be ever changing.
Ooh.
Nothing lasts forever. Everything changes. We are all sacks of meat rotting standing up. We're all in the midst of life. We're all in death. Embrace change.
We're human grease bubble.
Yeah.
Friggin' sausages.
Bacon sausages.
My tip, it's not really a tip, but I think it's a, somebody had an interview. Love that I don't know who it was. Somebody had an interview and they were asked like what defines them. And they said, I don't like anything defining me because it removes the opportunity to evolve.
Mm.
And I was like,
That's
are you single?
Snaps.
Yeah. So.
But that's also like kind of a bullshit answer. Like,
but honestly, hate it.
But the thing that defines me is pasta.
Truly. I just made the best pasta, and I'm not like...
Yeah?
Yes.
We're talking like Chef, you know, the movie Chef, you know what I'm talking about? Like that food porn moment where he's instead of a sex scene, let's just show him making pasta.
Mm-hmm. That's my aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
I made a rigatoni vodka, a la vodka, but it had 3 types of mushrooms in it, and it was amazing.
Mushrooms are my jam.
Mushrooms are my jam.
I love mushrooms.
They're the best. And the thing that here's a tip for pasta, is if you put too much crushed pepper in it, or if you don't, just in general, if you're making a pasta sauce, you use Siggy's whole milk yogurt. I use it to cut the spice, but it was like so creamy.
Love it. That's a tip right there.
A huge tip. Here's a second one. I know I'm only supposed to give one and none on pasta, but you put it in a Vitamix blender, and like on the Vitamixes, they have a soup option. So it makes it hot and it like purees it. Right. And purifies. Oh my God, it's holy.
I mean, when things are pureed, it's pure.
My God. That's the best.
I'm all about that.
I'm so glad we're on the same page.
Seriously, though, I like that me making a pasta joke has, you're like, oh, real advice. Like, in this podcast so far, that was the first piece of, like, real, actual certified advice was, like.
Siggy's yogurt.
Vitamix. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have a tip on Disney remakes?
I think it's a bald money grab, and it's working, and that's what sucks, is that they're like, you know what we need to do is not put out any new stories. We'll just crank out a bunch of our old movies, and they'll each make $1 billion fucking dollars again, and it's working. So it's,
have you seen the new Lion King?
No, I'm not going to
see
any of them. I don't see any of them.
Any of them?
I don't see any of them. I am a strong, and this is going to, again, I'm just giving you a bunch of examples of how I'm a bad, shitty guy, is what this podcast has been. It's like, how is Luke shitty? I'm a strong believer that if you're an adult and you're really, really into Disney, I don't like that about you. I don't like that. I think it's weird. And the thing is, they're great films. They are good films. The music is incredible. The stories are great. They are intended for children. They're supposed to be for kids. They're children. Like, if you're, like, having, like, minimalist, like, portraits of Lilo and Stitch in your house.
I'm dead.
And in your sunroom and your exposed brick loft, get over it. You're an adult. Grow up.
Here's the only thing I'll say, and if you have something bad to say, say it. Don't keep it to yourself. It's not Disney, but just so, like, everyone's on the same page, Willy Wonka is a movie for adults and children.
I agree.
And, okay, great.
And I love Willy Wonka.
Great.
It was on TV yesterday, and I watched a decent part of it.
It should be on TV all the time.
Is one of my very favorite movies.
It is so good. I have a book called Pure Imagination. It's the making of. It's written by the director, Mal Stewart, and it is incredible.
I really was watching it.
What scene did you watch?
My very favorite scene, which is...
Is the candy room?
The candy room.
Oh my God, the candy room.
It's so good. I mean, it's to me, the low-key, one of my very favorite things. I mean, he talks a lot about that. Pratt role he does coming out with the cane.
Yeah.
And how it's like, you'll never know what to believe from this guy, right? And that just like to have that Gene Wilder and have that instinct of like, I'm going to make choices that aren't in the script that make this guy crazy. And there's like times in it, I'm sure they choreographed everything, obviously, but there's that moment where he's leading them down the stairs and he's backtracking
up.
I don't know why. It is, but I just love that. I just get such a kick out of watching him, with the cane and not let them go. And then
and he, like, picks the hair off of Mike TV's head.
I just love it.
He's incredible in that role. Fun fact about that scene. I've got a few.
I'm all in. Yes.
Okay. So in that specific moment that you're talking about, when Willy Wonka is going up and down the stairs, the writers of the song, I forget their names, Bercuse and Newley or something like that, are people that the composers, they hated the fact that there was a bunch of extra bars in the front and like in between the verses.
Oh, you gotta give them those.
You have to have them. So they hated it so much, but the directors and the producers were like, this is what makes Gene like so good at keeping those little intricacies of his character. So like the composers actually didn't love that, but we love it.
Love it. I just love that scene so much.
Another fun fact about that scene is, you know that the chocolate river is real chocolate.
No, I didn't know that.
It's every time I bring it up, everyone's like, yeah, we know that. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I'll just dig deeper in my
It was. They made it actually chocolate.
It was real chocolate because they couldn't like.
Doesn't look like it. It looks like shit.
It actually just Vitamixed shit.
Yeah. It's actually churning my chocolate.
So since the waterfall and it was real chocolate, it sudded up a bunch. It like had suds. And so they had to fly to another country to get a solution to pour into the river so that it would take away the suds away. It was like the solution was like made to take shampoo bubbles out of shampoo.
That seems like they should have just used brown food coloring.
They probably should have.
You know?
But you couldn't have get it that creamy with just water.
You know who else in that movie, just watching it yesterday, made me go like, man, underrated great performance is Veruca Salt's dad.
Oh,
the guy who's like, Schnoz Wang is from Vicious Canids. Like, he has so many great, like,
I know,
douche dad lines.
Dad.
Yeah.
Ugh. If you had to take a scene out of Willy Wonka, what would it be? Let's say it on three.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Cheer up, Charlie.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yes. You just don't need it because the mom's not really enough of a character to give her a full song. Mm-mm. You know what I mean?
All they were trying to do in that moment is show that like Charlie wasn't coming from like a very good place.
Right.
Like financially.
No.
You could have just show
his house. He's got
four infirmed
grandparents.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you live in a thimble.
Also, kind of though, fuck Grandpa Joe. Like it's like,
no, all
you're going to not walk around for 20 years. Where You know what I mean?
Until like you're benefiting on somebody else's come up?
Yeah, exactly.
The beginning of that song, he says he's the one singing, "I've got a golden ticket," right?
Like, he is.
Grandpa Joe, that's not yours.
It's not yours, dude.
You're taking credit for something that's not yours.
That being said, it's my favorite song in the whole, even maybe even more than Pure Imagination, the "I Got a Golden Ticket."
Okay, get out.
That's the line I love.
I don't care about your 10-year cringe.
Yeah, right? Yes,
well,
yes.
This is where the line is.
Really? I mean, Pure Imagination is obviously the best song, but
it is a good,
to me, I just love that moment of him getting out of the bed and singing. I love that.
It's so good. He was like an old vaudevillian performer. That's why they were like, you got this.
He's great.
Take it away. Another fun. Oh, I got to stop.
He's in that Poseidon adventure where the boat flips upside down too. That Grandpa Joe. That's like the only other movie I can remember him in.
I've never seen that.
It's good.
I've got two facts about Grandpa Joe and then we'll move on. Maybe. I don't know. I could talk about this forever. So that scene, there's a scene of, in your favorite part, I've Got a Golden Ticket, where Grandpa Joe looks under the bed
and his hair's.
And the Mel Stewart, the director, pumped up the bed like 6 inches so that they could fit a camera under there because he was like, this shot would be incredible.
Right. And
like,
it is.
But like,
good morning.
Come on. Look at the sun.
Yeah.
I sounded kind of like
You sounded like Charlie. That's
so
very funny.
That's a fun fact. And then the last scene where they're in the glass elevator or whatever it's called, I guess.
Yeah.
So they sent over that footage to like a CGI person in order to get that shot. And the person who was doing it didn't know the film. So they like deleted Grandpa Joe out of that scene because they didn't. They thought he was a crew member.
They're like, this guy can't be. This is not an on-camera guy. This isn't.
This can't be.
What a fucking gull to be like, you know what? I won't ask about this. I'll just assume that this person's not intended to be in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the best. If you want to check out this book that I've learned all of these facts from, it's called.
I kind
of
do.
I'll lend it to you. It's called Pure Imagination.
It's one of my favorite movies. Love it.
Oh my God. I'm so glad we're on the same page because I was like, uh-oh. If you're not okay with this,
no,
we can't.
Maybe that just goes back on like my whole Disney rant was that I'm like, I just need to grow the fuck up and get over the, you know.
Sometimes I'm like, am I too nostalgic or living in the past that's like keeping me from living my present because I like Willy Wonka so much?
You know what? I think nostalgia is a purely human thing. And I love it. I don't think there's anything wrong with indulging in some nostalgia. However, Disney weirdos, there's a point where you're like, okay, come on. You're an adult and you're going to Disneyland. That's one too where it's like, you're an adult. This isn't even fun.
It's not. Most of it is not fun. One thing though, Cars Land. It's not Cars Land. Not a whole land. Cars
Land?
You've been to the Toyota
Cars
dealership?
Cars 3? Yeah, yeah.
No, Cars, the ride cars. The ride cars in sunset, like golden hour.
Mm.
If you go to Disneyland, that's the only thing you should do.
It is like some of those rides are super fun, but I'm just saying like there's like I see like on Instagram like friends of mine who are like 30 who are like making a huge weird pilgrimage to Disneyland. I'm like, you're weird. That's weird.
Don't wear the little things.
Yeah,
the ears.
If you're gonna do it, embrace it. I guess if you're gonna go, I guess now I'm convincing myself. I'm like, you know what? If you're gonna be weird, just jump off the fucking cliff and be a weirdo.
What's the weirdest thing you do or like?
I mean, the cringe thing is really peeling back the curtain, but I feel like I like garbage. I feel like my girlfriend likes garbage reality TV, and so I've watched a decent
amount.
Love Island. I mean, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. They're all just, it's all trash.
You've seen Paradise Hotel?
Vanderpump. I've watched way too much Vanderpump.
Oof. I need to get
on board. I mean, it's bad. To me, the best was like the golden age was like the VH1, like Flavor of Love, I Love New York, Rock of Love. Those were, they knew what they were. Bad, trash, exploitative reality shows, sign me up. With like slide whistle sound effects, like give it to me.
Give it to me. The thing that I think is so fascinating about all those shows is like when I used to watch them as jokes, I'd be like, haha, that's crazy you're doing that. This sucks for you. And then when I watched Paradise Hotel, everyone was on the same page. And they're like, we're here to win. This is the game plan. Here's our strategy. Everyone's making alliances.
Ooh.
And it's like, and then people get caught up in the actual like love of it all. And it's like, because you take away your phones, you give them a bunch of alcohol and you're filming at like 3 a.m.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, of course you're gonna get the
pump pheromones through the ventilation system.
Right.
Like, it smells like sex in here. Yeah.
It's crazy. If you were on a show like that, I'm sure anybody listening, like, you would end up exactly like people on the show.
I always joke. I wrote this very, very bad. I, like, didn't even submit it to SNL. But it was more just from my office mate. But I wrote this sketch where I was the bachelor, and just right off the bat, as soon as, like, I'm in the room with, like, what is it, 30 women, I'm just like, honestly, I'm just going to cut you off, Chris Harrison. I'm just going to cut you off right now. Pretty much just whoever sucks my dick the best wins. I don't want to be an asshole about it, but if you think I'm attractive, I mean, you guys are all really attractive. Just whoever does it the best, you win right now. So just letting everyone know that's my criteria.
Yeah.
Just going for whoever does that the best. Yeah.
I wish that would have been made.
And it would have been a 10-second long sketch of, like, you can't go anywhere past that.
You can't.
Because obviously I'm a need to be sniped after that, because it'd be a huge piece of shit. But
I would ask for, since this is a tip show, but, like, cannot. So we can end there.
Yeah, right.
Luke, thank you. I think we did a really good job at helping a little.
If there's anything that this conversation did a good job of, it's showing that I'm a bad guy.
I disagree.
No, I walk away from being like, pretty much just let you know all my worst qualities. Yeah, no. No, I think we tried to make the world a better place. Whether or not that happened.
We tried. Before we leave, what is one piece of advice you would give to your younger self?
Oh, goodness.
Let's say, like, 23.
You know what I would say?
How old are you now?
I'm 29.
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to say 25.
Ooh.
Because I feel like everyone's 25 is crazy.
25 was, those are some good years. 25 was fun. My initial one, and this is before 25, like, younger me, like,
you
even younger,
that.
It would be, don't go to college. It's a waste of your money. I spent a lot of money on college, and I'm still, to this day, paying for a degree that I will never use.
What's your degree in?
Geographic Information Systems.
Okay.
Computer-based mapping. Yeah. So I have a Bachelor's of Sciences in GIS.
Wow.
So I don't need that, and it was a waste of money. Not time, though. So I guess that's the other thing is, like, yeah, I learned that I love comedy and improv and sketch and stand-up
good.
In
yeah.
college. So that the time was well spent. But man, oh, man, I bet there's a way to do that without spending a bunch of money on something I don't need.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate that. I only went to college for 2 years, and then I had to drop out because of entertainment.
Yep.
So I was like, in a way, blessed by not finishing, because I don't have student debt anymore because I didn't finish.
Right.
So I was able to pay off the 2 years.
See, I'm still doing the old monthly payments. Hopefully we get a Bernie or a Elizabeth Warren, and we can do that old student loan debt forgiveness,
because
it ain't going to be done anytime soon.
I know. That sucks. I think that, like, I know we really have to finish, but not you. I want to talk so much about finances, because I feel like we don't know anything going into college. Like, we have, like, economics, but that's not teaching us not only, like,
personal finances. How is that not, like, a subject in school? Like, I still don't know what equity means.
I think that they're trying to steal our money, and we all know this, but, like, steal our money for sure, because you're gonna, but also, like, tell us how to save our own. Like,
yep.
I think we're not going to have Social Security when we're older. And, like, it started an IRA, a Roth IRA, or a different, like, form of a retirement plan. But, like, even in that, like, why are we not doing life insurance until we're almost dead? Like, I don't get it.
It's bad.
It's bad.
A lot of things are bad. But what's cool is that they're just going to get worse until we fucking collapse. So that's good.
Last words from Luke Knoll.
Yeah, everything will just get worse until it explodes.
Where can people find you all over the internet?
I don't want any more goddamn followers.
Ooh, that's an interesting
take.
I'm
kidding. I have almost none. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. My name, Luke Knoll.
Yeah. Luke Knoll.
I think there might be an underscore in there. I think there's another Luke
Knoll.
Might
be.
I don't know.
Wow.
I legitimately don't know. I think there is. I don't think I just am. I think I might just be Luke Knoll. I don't know. I don't know.
That is insane that you don't know.
If you search my name, I'll pop up.
Except for on Spotify.
Except on, except where I want it to pop up, it won't pop up. Yeah. But I should send a message to whoever has, I think, just my regular name and be like, yo.
Yo.
You ain't using this.
They very much
I think they're
are.
Literally not. I think just at Luke Knoll on Twitter, I think, is like never posted a tweet or never, you know.
Never?
I don't think so. I don't think it's like a real person.
Hate that.
Or maybe it was me in like 2009 and I just made two accounts or something. Maybe.
Oh, good for you.
That's a very real possibility.
One in one.
But yeah. But Spotify, the streaming services.
Spotify.
Yes, is my.
Am I allowed to? This is probably not going to work. Can I close on a song of yours?
Oh.
Or do you hate that?
No, I mean. I will see this. It will be a first, so this will, I'll be able to see if I hate it or not in real time.
Okay, which one should I end on?
Oh, no. I guess
Turpentine, Wine, and Bleach, of course. That's the one. That makes sense because you end your shows and you end this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is 5 minutes, though. I will add 5 minutes on to this.
No, you gotta just fade it after 1 second.
Okay, I'll fade it after 1 second.
You get the idea after it's, yeah.
If you guys listening have problems or sticky situations or burning concerns, call us. We now have a number. It's 805-751-9071. It doesn't have like a cool ring to it. I really wanted to make one,
right.
But like you can't.
You should see what it spells out.
Oh, and just, it's just like, it just says like QWERTY keyboard.
Yeah.
805-751-9071. Give us your age and we'll give you quasi wisdom. See you next time on Just a Bitch.
See me perform live. You know the song I'm going to play. It's the dumbest song I've ever written. It's called Turpentine, Wine, and Bleach in the back of the wagon. I want to drink turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a Winnebago. Turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a van. Turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a Winnebago. Winnebago, won't you let me? I want to drink turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a Winnebago. Turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a van. Turpentine, wine, and bleach in the back of a Winnebago. Winnebago.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.